It's official, guys. The All Blacks plan on copying the Springboks' strategy for success. Gone are the days, it seems, when New Zealand were the trendsetters. Now South Africa are the ones who are leading and the Kiwis are following. They say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, listen to this. All Blacks coach Scott Robertson has said that he plans on asking the New Zealand Rugby Union if they can also follow the Springboks' strategy of selecting overseas-based players. Looks like they don't only want to take a leaf out of the South African playbook, they're taking an entire chapter. That's right, the mighty All Blacks want to copy us. I think it's fair to say that New Zealand used to be the gold standard when it came to global rugby. Their haka struck fear into opponents, probably still does a little bit. Their dominance was unquestionable, and that jersey, the awe, the inspiration, the intimidation, the stuff of legends. But these days, it is the Springboks who are the team to beat. Double world champions, rugby championship winners, Mandela plate holders, Freedom Cup champions, Qatar Airways Cup winners. We have all the trophies. So in a bid to try and catch up to us, Robertson says that he is going to ask his bosses if they can also select overseas-based players. Here's what Razor had to say. They've got the opportunity to use a lot of experienced players who are looked after and managed well into their 30s. They've got big squads and can field two really quality 15s. Translation? Help! The Springboks are miles ahead of us! We need to catch up! And here's why that is monumental. The Kiwis have actually taken a lot of pride in their domestic selection policy. If you wanted to play for the All Blacks, you had to play your domestic rugby in New Zealand. Otherwise, you would be ineligible. The theory being that by playing at home, that keeps New Zealand domestic rugby strong. No exceptions. But as it turns out, the world has moved on. We once thought as they do, and then we woke up. This is a professional sport, and who knew that in a professional sport, the best players will play where the best salaries are on offer. So in rugby, that's mostly going to be France and Japan. The policy of selecting only locally based players is absurd in any event, in my opinion. Let me tell you why, and this is really good context. Can you imagine if in football, Argentina said that they are not going to select Lionel Messi because he plays his domestic football in the USA? Can you imagine if Portugal said, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know what, you play your domestic football in Saudi Arabia, so we will not be selecting you for the Portuguese national team anymore? Everybody would laugh. Do you see the ridiculousness of it all? It is ridiculous, it is absurd, it is Stone Age thinking. And unfortunately, because rugby only turned professional less than 30 years ago, and we still have a lot of amateurs running what is effectively a professional sport, this is the kind of thinking that still is perpetuated in many countries. South Africa has successfully proven that you can keep your domestic competition strong. How do you do that? Well, let's see. You have good development programs. You have good coaching structures. You just have good everything. And that means that the pipeline continues. You're not losing your junior players. You're not losing your high school players. They still come through the system. They still come through the pipeline. They still get into provincial rugby. They still get into franchise rugby. And then, yes, okay, every now and again, there might be a starlet that someone in Japan or France sees or scouts. And then they say, hey, you know what, that young boy, we need him over here. Okay, fine, let that happen. It's okay. Do you know that Lionel Messi never played club football in Argentina? Do you know that Cristiano Ronaldo left Portugal when he was 17? It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's not going to weaken our rugby. By the way, all those Argentine and Brazilian players in football that go and play in Europe, has it weakened Brazilian or Argentine football? The two countries together have won 8 FIFA World Cups. They've only been 20. So they've won 40% of all the tournaments between the two of them. What about Portugal? They had never won anything. Ronaldo and all these wonderful Portuguese players playing in Europe, well, guess what? A few years ago, they won the European Championship for the first time. And as it turns out, the Springboks, selecting overseas-based players, went from losing 57-0 to the All Blacks to winning two Rugby World Cups back-to-back. What happens when our best players go and play overseas? Well, from their point of view, they earn a lot more money. That is a win for them. Secondly, especially if they go and play in Japan, there is less of a physical battering that they have to endure week in and week out. That is a win for them as well as a win for us. Another point, when they go and play overseas, now they have teammates from Australia, New Zealand, England, France, Ireland, all over. And what happens is there is a sharing of ideas that take place. And then Peter Steph Du Toit, Malcolm Marks, Jesse Creel, whoever it may be, come home and they tell their teammates at the Stormers, the Sharks, the Lions, the Bulls, whatever it may be, hey guys, there's this thing that those guys do. We should try that. Or, hey guys, there's this thing that they do. We're playing them next week. Watch out for that. And then that helps us prepare better. It makes them better players. I truly believe that our players playing overseas and us selecting them, in spite of that being the case, is a win-win-win situation. And now it appears that New Zealand have finally woken up to this. But have they really? It appears as if Robertson's idea is not exactly the same one that we have. His blueprint is to instead try and do something that Australia do. Now, let's be honest, guys, right now in world rugby, is Australia really the kind of blueprint that you want to be copying? I wouldn't have thought so. So what the Wallabies do is they allow three overseas-based players to feature in their team. And then there's all kinds of eligibility rules that come into it. So, like, for example, you have to have played a certain number of test matches, or you have to commit to playing for an Australian franchise the next year. And Robertson seems to be thinking more along those lines, and that's why someone like Richie Mwanga then suddenly becomes eligible again for the All Blacks. It's insane, don't you think? Someone like Richie Mwanga, they are deliberately not selecting him because he doesn't play his domestic rugby in New Zealand. Nevertheless, I quite like the idea that the All Blacks are looking to us and saying, teach us, O wise ones. I know a lot of South Africans used to think we have to keep our rugby strong domestically. We have to pick our own players at home. Don't encourage the guys that are overseas. I just think that's ridiculous. Like I said, can you imagine if this was done in any other sport? People would laugh. And that's because it's a professional sport. The best players play where the best salaries are on offer. And then when we have international windows, they all come back to South Africa and play for the Springboks and clearly are very, very successful. I honestly think it's only a matter of time before the Kiwis, the Aussies and England, these three especially, finally decide, okay, you know what? We kind of need to be going that way. And it doesn't mean that your domestic rugby becomes strong. Look at us. The Stormers, the Bulls, the Sharks, the Lions, they're probably doing as well as ever. In the URC, our teams are very competitive. We're slowly but surely getting used to the Champions Cup. We've only been there now a couple of seasons. Give us a chance and you will see what we are capable of. And again, at the end of the day, if the Stormers, the Bulls, the Sharks, whatever, the Lions, if they don't win the URC, it's not the end of the world. It will be okay. The bigger prize here is that Webb Ellis Cup. And South Africa has it, and the All Blacks don't. And I will speak to you next time.